Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Charles DeJoux represented Hawaii's first congressional district from 2010 to 2011. The first congressional district comprises the urban core of Honolulu, from the eastern shores of Oahu to the western areas of Ewa and Kapolei, and includes Mililani, Waikiki, and downtown. We're here on this very unique moment to talk heart to heart about the issues that are going on in our state leading up to the primary elections. And Charles has been a major part of what goes on in Hawaii politics for over a decade, 15 plus years and beyond. He's a major in the U.S. Army Reserve. He's a combat veteran who served with the U.S. Army in Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan during the surge of coalition forces in 2011 and 2012. He's a decorated soldier, and he's here with us today. Charles, welcome to our show.
Danny, thank you very much for having me on.
Let's talk about voting. Mm-hmm. It seems to me, it would seem to all of us, that there is a dearth of involvement when it comes to going to the polls in Hawaii. It's shameful.
Yes,
that there is
yes.
such yep. little involvement. Why is that, and how can we change that?
Yeah, Danny, you're absolutely right. You know, although in America, only half of all Americans who are eligible to vote actually vote, in our community here in Hawaii, it's only 40% of those who are eligible to vote vote. Now, why is that? I think a large part of the reason there are so few Hawaii residents vote. We have the lowest voter turnout of any of the 50 states in the United States. I think, unfortunately, has been because of one-party domination in Hawaii politics. That is, the same people and the same political party win again and again and again. And I think a lot of people have become very cynical, fed up with their government, and have just taken the decision that nothing ever changes, nothing will ever change, the government will never listen, so why bother? Just give up and turn your back on voting. I understand that sentiment of why a lot of Hawaii residents feel that way. But, you know, that's honestly, Danny, the wrong approach. Because ultimately, if you take the approach of, well, Hawaii's Democratic Party has always dominated, they always will dominate, nothing will ever change. Well, it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You then make the machine in Hawaii politics even stronger. All those people who say nothing will ever change, well, then, yeah, if you don't vote, sure enough, you leave it to only the few people who do vote, who do like what's going on in the system, and sure enough, we get what we get, a government which becomes non-responsive, a government which doesn't listen, a government which ignores the will of the people on a whole range of issues, whether it is on same-sex marriage or what's going on with the economy, lack of jobs, the cost of living. And we then have a government where everybody turns around, scratches their heads, and says, why? And the root of it all is we're not voting and we're not shaking up our government.
Do you feel that we are, that this is a milestone moment, that we are at a place where instead of scratching our heads, people are beginning to nod, as it were, to think, you know, what can I do to make a change?
You know, Danny, I do. I do think so. You know, the primary election a few weeks ago, we saw what I've described as a hurricane coming through here. And I'm not talking about all the rain that happened on the primary. And I'm not talking about what happened over in Puna on the Big Island. I'm talking about here the elections on primary day. We saw a lot of incumbents swept from office during the primary. we saw for the first time in the history of the state of Hawaii, an incumbent governor defeated for re-election in the primary. Never happened before in the history of our state. I think that shows a sentiment in the public about the frustration, the disappointment that the public sees in our government, about how unresponsive so much of Hawaii government is. But Danny, I also want to emphasize, however, to your listeners, while I think there's a clear sentiment and feeling about a desperate need to change our government and our community, and that feeling is manifesting itself now in 2014, the primary election was only step one. We still have to finish the job at the general election on November 4th. If you don't take the next step and make sure you vote for change and fundamentally reworking our government at all levels, ultimately the voters are going to just leave an incomplete job for the next generation. And that's why it's so important to get out there and vote and make your voice heard. You know, if you're an American citizen, the most powerful thing you have as an American is your right to vote.
Yes.
Exercise it. Utilize it here.
We want to encourage that. Get involved. Get out and vote. I mean, you're going to be hearing more and more people talk about that. We need your involvement. You are necessary to get in the polls, to go to the polls, to get in the voting booth, and cast your vote.
Yep.
Blood has been shed to be able to do that.
Danny, if I could just follow up with all of your listeners. It's so easy now to register to vote. You can get your voter registration form online. Just look up Hawaii Office of Elections voter registration. Or you can go to the front of the phone book. There's a form right there. You can go to any public library, go to any post office, pick up the form. It'll take you 5 minutes to fill out the form. And nowadays, you can request a permanent absentee ballot. They will mail the ballot to your home. It used to be you had to drive to the polling booth on election day. These days, nobody has an excuse to say why they're not voting. We've made it so easy.
So someone is just sitting on the fence right now.
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. Let's nudge them forward. What would you say? One thing to just nudge them on.
You know, the very simple thing is, are you happy with the way things are going right now in your government? Are you happy with the way things are going in Hawaii, in America? Do you believe that, generally speaking, things are going in the right track or the wrong track? Now, I can understand in one level, perhaps, if you're satisfied with your government, you think everything is going well, there's a lot of jobs around there, young people can find good-paying jobs, that the cost of living is easy to deal with here in Hawaii, there are no problems with homelessness, and you look at our government around the world and you have no concerns about global affairs. I guess if there's somebody out there who looks and thinks that way, well, maybe perhaps you can just say, well, there's no need to vote. But I think for the vast majority of citizens, you look around what's going on in Hawaii, what's going on in America. And I think there's a great sediment of disappointment about what's going on and how our leaders are taking America and taking Hawaii. And if you're not satisfied, if you think we can do better, as I very much strongly believe we can do much, much better, well, then you need to get out there and make your voice heard. Because as an American citizen, the most powerful right that you have is the right to vote. And the when and where you get to exercise that power is on election day by casting a ballot. And if you throw away that right, if you decide not to vote on election day, you've just cast aside perhaps the most important privilege that you have as an American citizen.
We can't take it for granted anymore.
No, absolutely not.
We need to exercise this great, great, some would say the greatest right that we have to vote.
Yeah.
So, dear friend, that's our encouragement. You say, hey, Danny, man, you spent the whole first segment almost just talking about voting. But we want to get more people out. It's a necessity.
And Danny, maybe if I could just real quickly bring in here, and it's just a tiny bit of faith. A good pastor once told me that, you know, when the government is aligned with God, the people rejoice. when the government isn't and is misaligned with God, the people grumble. I would invite all of your listeners. Do you think, as a general statement, are people generally rejoicing or grumbling with their government you see today? And if you agree with me that there's a lot of grumbling going on, then I invite you, don't just sit there and passively accept it. Be an active participant in your democracy, and let's try and change that. Let's build a two-party democracy here. Let's turn around and get a growing economy here, and let's get a government that listens.
Charles DeJoux, giving a strong word of encouragement. But these are not just platitudes. There's depth to it. There's an understanding. There's experience that comes with it. Economy. What's your take on the economic realities now, and what would you do differently
if you were in office? Certainly, Danny. Right now, unfortunately, our economy is not very healthy. We are right now amidst the slowest economic recovery since the end of the Second World War. But you don't have to look at the statistics. Just look around. The University of Hawaii pumps out several thousand undergraduates with a college degree every year. And so many of those graduates from UH, well, A, they either can't find a job, or B, if they are able to find a job, the only job they can find with a college degree is maybe perhaps a part-time job over at Starbucks. Nothing to be ashamed about that, but it is a clear sign that our economy is simply not as healthy as it should be. And equally important with that is this crushing cost of living here in the islands. Forbes magazine had an article about a month ago or so. It said that the state of Hawaii is the single most difficult location in the United States of America to make a living.
You hit a nerve. You hit a nerve. When you talk about, of course, jobs, mm-hmm. when you talk about cost of living mm-hmm. in Hawaii, you hit a nerve. I mean, we can travel any which place, any state mm-hmm. Of our country. Next to New York City and a place like, but the Hawaii always stands out when it comes to cost of living. Charles, when we come back, let's delve in further.
Sure,
delve in further about let's talk about the economy. Let's talk about budget, the budget and spending. Mm-hmm. I also want to hear about your take on the Jones Act.
Sure, absolutely.
When we come back, more with Charles DeJoux. Charles DeJoux, running for Hawaii's first congressional district in the general elections. He is here in studio with us, talking heart to heart. Remember to make it a point to get out and vote. But we'll talk about the Jones Act, budget and spending. We'll go in deeper about the economy, things that we all need to know about, especially what our representative would do. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So you go to the gas station and you look at the cost and you say, wow. That's not how much I pay in Hawaii because you're in another state and you're putting in gas. You say, man, do we actually pay that? Well, you go to the grocery store and you want to buy milk and you want to buy cereal because you and your kids, you love to eat cereal in the morning. Wow. Is that how much it costs here? Yeah. That's not how much it costs in Hawaii. The skyrocketing prices, the cost of living, it is a major concern. Whether you articulate it or not, it swells in your soul when you think about that reality. Charles DeJew is here to talk about the economy and other important matters. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Charles, economy and the cost of living.
Yes, Danny, the cost of living is crushing so many families here in Hawaii. You're exactly right here. My good gosh, you go to the supermarket and a half gallon milk's $5, a loaf of bread $6, and orange juice is your firstborn child.
Even a cup of Starbucks coffee is more here.
Yes,
than on the mainland.
Right, that's right. And Danny, unfortunately for us here in the islands, part of what drives such an incredibly high cost of living here in the islands is our government. It is the excessive amount of government regulation here in our economy, which makes things unnecessarily more expensive in Hawaii than it does anywhere else in the United States. One of those regulations that helps drive up the cost of living here in Hawaii is something called the Jones Act. This is a monopoly shipping regulation that has led to exceptionally high shipping costs for the transportation of goods between Hawaii and the rest of the world. This regulation does not affect the other 49 states in the United States of America. And the reason for that is even though the other 49 states on the mainland, even though they're subject to the Jones Act and may have monopoly shipping prices, the other states in our country have the alternative of trucking and rail. And it is that sort of natural level of competition between shipping, trucking, and rail. And that competition between those types of transportation keeps transportation costs down. Hawaii is the only American state where we only have the choice of shipping to get our goods. We don't have that competitive environment with trucking or rail. And as a consequence of that here, we are particularly vulnerable to exceptionally high shipping prices. Or let me put it to you in another way. Anybody who owns anything made out of plastic, which means everybody, by and large, it probably was made where? In China. If a good was made in China, they'll load up the container in Guangzhou, China. The ship will come across the Pacific Ocean. They will float right past Hawaii, wave at us, and then go on to Long Beach or Oakland, unload all of their containers there, and then have to be reloaded on Matson's ship and shipped back from California to Honolulu. And that just makes the cost exceptionally expensive. To put numbers into perspective here, it costs, I've seen about $3,000-$4,000 to ship a container from China to California, but about $9,000 for that same container to go from California to Hawaii, even though the distance from California to Hawaii is less than half the distance from China to California. You want to know why goods cost so much more in Hawaii? That's one of the multitude of reasons. And that's why, Danny, I support exempting Hawaii from the Jones Act. If the other 49 states want it, that's fine. But I think for us here in the islands, in Hawaii, this regulation does not make sense. It is adding to the cost of living. We should change it.
Going back to your example, you said, say, $4,000, $5,000 from China to California. But you mentioned $9,000 from
California
to Hawaii.
Back to Honolulu.
Why almost double?
Because we have monopoly shipping and monopoly shipping prices. We have no competition. There's nothing competing with American port to American port shipborne transportation. Maybe let me give some background here. The Jones Act, what it requires is that any shipping from one American port to another American port must use an American flagged vessel built in the United States and crewed by an American crew. Originally, it was intended to protect shipping, say, up and down the Mississippi River from, say, St. Louis, Missouri, down to New Orleans, Louisiana, or maybe perhaps in the Great Lakes from, say, Chicago, Illinois, to Erie, Pennsylvania. When Congress passed this law in 1920, 40 years before Hawaii ever became a U.S. state, Congress never contemplated a non-contiguous American state with the passage of this legislation. And that's why Hawaii is so much more particularly affected by this legislation than any other state in the U.S. mainland. And we're trapped here because those other states, yeah, if shipping prices get way out of whack, what do producers do? What do manufacturers do? Well, they switch to rail or they switch to trucking.
They have options.
They have options. But us in Hawaii, we don't have that option of rail or trucking. We're stuck with shipping. And so when shipping prices go up, we only have one choice, to just sit there and take it. And then what ultimately happens here is that the price is passed on to consumers here in Hawaii. You know, Danny, a couple weeks ago, the Honolulu Star-Advertiser had a front page story about nearly one in every five households in Hawaii sometime during the year is forced to take advantage of the Hawaii Food Bank. That's the highest per capita number in the United States of America of families needing to use the food bank. I think the reason why Hawaii is so affected by that is in part because of our high cost of living. It's just so difficult to make ends meet here. And what's so senseless about it is a lot of what's driving that cost of living is our government, and it is our government regulations. And very frequently with so much government regulations, it's easy to say, well, we'll just add one more regulation here and it'll only add a cent to whatever product it is. Well, add another regulation here, another regulation here. But before you know it, we have these volumes and volumes of regulations, and those few cents all add up. And before you know it, the goods here in Hawaii cost way more than they do anywhere else in the United States.
So what would you do if you were voted in and you became our congressman? Mm-hmm. What would you do, Charles, to work towards this exemption?
So, you know, the first thing we got to do to reduce this cost of living is start reducing these regulations. And I think regulation number one is to exempt Hawaii from the Jones Act. And, you know, Danny, let me give an example of what I did during my first term in Congress. So your listeners don't just have to take my word for it. You can go back and look at my record. You know, for me, what I was working towards is educating the other members of the Congress about the importance of the Jones Act and how it just particularly affects Hawaii more so than the rest of the country. One opportunity I had when I was in Congress in 2010 was, you may have recalled, there was the BP oil spill. There was the Deepwater Horizon oil rig, had a big, gigantic oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico, had that millions of tons of petroleum spilled into the Gulf of Mexico. Well, that I used as an opportunity for me to educate my colleagues in the Gulf Coast states. Why? Because a lot of the best skimmers, oil skimmers, are actually from Europe. They've had experience with oil spills in the North Sea, which is very rough and choppy. So some of the best oil skimmers come from places like Norway and Denmark and the Netherlands. So those countries offered to help the United States. Initially, because of the Jones Act, it was impossible for those skimmers to start in New Orleans, do their job for the day, and come back to New Orleans because it was a foreign vessel going American port to American port. None of the Gulf Coast congressmen could understand why this was the case. It made no sense to them. The president had to issue a blanket exemption for this. But I used that as an opportunity to explain to those congressmen from Texas and Louisiana and Alabama and Mississippi and Florida who were all affected by this oil spill. I said, hey, you guys are affected by this Gulf oil spill now. But us in Hawaii, we're affected by it every day, year after year after year. So come help me here that, you know, I'm all for cleaning up this oil spill, but let's also work on reforming this crazy antiquated law. And I made a lot of progress with those Gulf Coast congressmen. Unfortunately, Danny, I was defeated for re-election and didn't have an opportunity to follow up with my colleagues here. But I think that's an example and an illustration of how I would work to educate the members of Congress on the mainland of the importance of this and the importance of it to Hawaii and why it is that we here in Hawaii need exemption from this law.
We can complain. We can live with it. We can endure agonizingly, however you may feel. But someone can make a difference.
Yes.
And you have a plan. You've already gotten some, made some progress on it. You have something to do about it, something that could make a difference with the economy. And, you have a plan. And then
I was just going to quickly say, Danny, you know, that is something that's important to me. You know, I want you to know, I want your listeners to know. There's so many politicians in Hawaii where they always seem to be just running for public office so they can get the next title, you know, almost as if holding public office is some sort of a feudal title back in the medieval ages. You know, after you become a knight, you want to become a duke, then you want to become a baron or whatever. I'm not running for Congress because I want a title. I've already been a congressman. I've already earned the title. Mm-hmm. I'm running for Congress because I want to make a difference. I'm running for Congress because there are policies that I see that are hurting so many Hawaii residents and so many Hawaii families that we need to tackle this cost of living, this problem with jobs, this problem of foisting so much debt on our children and grandchildren. And I want to go in there and I want to do something here. So I'm not there to just sit a seat and get a title. I'm there to change our government.
I want to ride the horse a little bit further when we come back. If you get in and you... cost of living. I mean, that's a major thing. Given a seat at the table again, how would you push things forward?
Yep.
Maybe we could talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about healthcare and national security. There's some big things going on right now with the Islamic State jihadists, Iraq and Syria, ISIS. Horrific things going on. I'd like to get Charles DeJus' take on it. He's running for the 1st Congressional District in the upcoming general elections. Charles DeJus, find out more about him at DeJus.com. DeJus.com. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Charles DeJus.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. You're listening to The Good Life. I'm Danny Yamashiro with Charles DeJoux. Charles is running for the Hawaii's first congressional district in the upcoming general election. Before our break, he was talking about the Jones Act and the high cost of living and how that could make a difference. He was already making some headway, but of course an election came on and things changed. But here he's in the saddle again with the hopes of making a difference to lower the cost of living. Could you imagine what it would be like to have something comparable or something even lower? Everything could make a difference in terms of pricing in regards to the Jones Act. Charles, if you were voted in, you were our congressman mm-hmm. there, how would you push things forward yeah. to a hopeful completion
yes.
with regard to this?
You know, Danny, what's I think important for you and especially your listeners to recognize is that, you know, between the last election in 2012 and this election today, Hawaii has lost over 90 years of seniority in its congressional delegation. We went from one of the most senior congressional delegations with some of the highest levels of clout in America to today having one of the junior most congressional delegations in the United States. What's more is, in all likelihood, the Republicans will retain control of the U.S. House, and it looks increasingly likely that the U.S. Senate will flip in control from Democrat to Republican. For a small state like Hawaii, for us to send four members of our congressional delegation and put them all in the minority will make Hawaii extremely isolated. I mean, already Hawaii's 5,000 miles away from Washington, D.C. It's very easy to forget about Hawaii. Of all the candidates who are running for Congress, I'm the only one who, if elected, I know I'm going to have a seat at the table at the majority caucus. And I'm also the only one running who, if elected, will at least have some scrap of seniority. On the other hand, if Hawaii elects yet another freshman, puts them in the minority, our state is going to be even more isolated. And it's important for Hawaii to recognize and be a little bit smarter, perhaps, about things that with four members in a congressional delegation, it's essential that we place at least one of the four members of our congressional delegation in the majority caucus so they at least have some say of what's going on here in Hawaii with the federal government. And that's what I can deliver on day one.
We talked about the position. You were mentioning some things to me even in regards to faith. Mm-hmm. Faith and your faith even, mm-hmm. and how it would relate with our representation, mm-hmm. there, you know, in Congress.
Yes. You know, Danny, my faith is important to me, and it's an essential and integral part of my marriage, of raising my children. I certainly don't think you necessarily have to be a Christian to be a good congressman or a good senator. It is important to me, however, but by no means do I want to make it, say, a legal prerequisite that you must be a Christian to be a congressman, by any means. But I do think it's important for your listeners to recognize here that having somebody who shares your values and shares your faith is helpful. And it gives somebody who understands your perspective in our government. Right now, Hawaii is the only state in the United States of America where not a single member of its congressional delegation is Christian. We have an entirely 100% non-Christian congressional delegation. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but I do think for individuals who are and do have the Christian faith, and you sometimes wonder and question, why is it that the government doesn't seem to understand my concerns? Why is it that every time I try to raise things, it falls on deaf ears? Well, perhaps that is just one of a whole multitude of reasons as to why there's this non-responsiveness I think so many people of faith feel about Hawaii government, and why I do think it is important, again, just as it is critical to at least elect perhaps one person and put them in the majority caucus. I think equally, perhaps, it might be good to have at least one Christian in Hawaii government rather than have an entire government made up of non-Christians here in Hawaii.
Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond to the concerns that from a... seems like a plethora of origins, places, people saying there are great concerns. How would you respond to that?
You know, Danny, I in formation of public policy, it's important to correctly identify a problem and then find the right solution to that problem.
But by the way, I like the way you when you talk about the Jones Act, there was a precision to it and what could happen. So
So with healthcare, I will give Barack Obama credit for correctly identifying that we need to reform American healthcare. The problem is the solution proposed by the president is clearly not working. That it's too regulatory, it's too bureaucratic, and hasn't generally helped average Americans. At its core, what's wrong with American healthcare? In my opinion, it's too expensive. 17% of our nation's GDP goes to pay for healthcare. Or put it just more specifically, for too many families, the cost of healthcare is just, it's getting out of control and they cannot afford it. So I think the correct way to look at tackling this problem is find what are the solutions that will help reduce the cost of healthcare in America without interrupting the quality of healthcare in America. For me, I believe that what the president has done with Obamacare is at best incomplete. What we instead need to do is implement three reforms. Number one, medical malpractice insurance. Medical malpractice tort reform is critical. For too many doctors, medical malpractice insurance is the single largest cost of the practice of medicine and the fastest rising cost. Second thing we need to do is we need to allow the interstate sale of health insurance. In Hawaii, 90% of all health insurance only comes from two companies, HMSA and Kaiser. And it's a duopoly, which really doesn't even compete with one another. I believe we should allow any American in any part of the country that if you want to buy health insurance from any company, validly registered insurance company, go ahead and buy it. You need more competition in the health insurance market to help drive down these costs. Last and finally, Danny, I support something called medical savings accounts. This is allowing people to use pre-tax money to pay for health expenses. Most people in Hawaii know this as flex spending. But you only get flex spending generally if you work for a big company that can afford to set up this program. HECO or something like that. Most small businesses don't allow it because it's just a lot of expense for the business to set this up. I would support legislation that allows any American to set up a medical savings account, similar to, say, an IRA, and put their money, pre-tax money, into such an account and pay for medical insurance as well as medical care and medical costs. I believe these three reforms will do far more to reduce the cost of medical care much more than what we have this bureaucratic plan of Obamacare. And what troubles me about Obamacare is it's a sort of a government fiat that just says, well, the government hereby mandates that costs shall come down and poof, expects all the costs to come down. But I think the reality is very, very different. I can talk numbers all day long, Danny, but maybe perhaps let me put it in very personal terms here. This past year, since the implementation of Obamacare, for the very first time, I have three children. My kids, when they went to their annual physical checkup, for the very first time, our kids' pediatrician charged a copay. I mean, it's fine. It was like $50 and we paid it. That's fine. But I know for a lot of families, that's a big burden and maybe perhaps would have deterred them from taking their kids in for their annual physical checkup. My son this summer came back from college and he got a really, really bad case of the flu, wanted to go see a doctor. And it just happened to be our internist was on vacation. Trying to go find a new internist to get him seen proved to be an arduous and near impossible experience because none of the doctors wanted to take a new patient here. There was so much bureaucracy, so much paperwork out there. It just wasn't worth them to take my son to take care and treat a terrible cold. And I hear it again and again from families about how bureaucratic the practice of medicine and healthcare has become. So Danny, when I look at Obamacare, you know, I ask families here, you know, when you go to the doctor, I don't hear anybody when they leave the doctor's office saying, gee, you know, I wish there was just one more form I could have filled out at the doctor's office. But I do hear a lot of concerns about the provision of medical care, the rapid rising costs, and how this Obamacare, as a general statement, hasn't helped the average resident and the average family. And so that's why it's a work that is at best incomplete and still, I believe, needs a lot of shaping and reworking. And I would center that reworking around those three policy reforms that I support.
And those three need to be implemented and would be implemented if Charles DeJoux was in office. And the opportunity to have Charles DeJoux in office would only take place if you, dear listener, are involved in the voting process. And that's what we have been communicating all along. We need you to get out and vote and make that a part of, if it's a change of your lifestyle to do that, this is the opportune time. We are living in times where the winds of change are taking place and you have an opportunity to make a positive difference. When we come back, we'll talk more with Charles DeJoux about national security. You've been hearing, you've been watching on television, you've been seeing on the internet, some horrific things are going on. You've heard the word ISIS. We'll talk about ISIS. We'll talk about securing our borders, securing our citizens, and what Charles DeJoux's take on it is when we come back. You find out more about him at DeJoux.com. Again, that's DeJoux.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It's a scary thing. I mean, for someone to be beheaded, for it to be uploaded, for it to be on the headlines, for it, the graphic nature of that, and it instills fear. And that's the whole thing with propaganda, is to make us afraid. That's the whole thing about terror and terrorism. You might have heard about ISIS, and you may have had a few questions about national security. Well, Charles, you're here in studio with us. What's your take on national security with regard to the things that are happening right now?
Yeah, you know, Danny, what's happening right now in the Middle East with ISIS, the Islamic State, is terrible. I served as an American soldier in Afghanistan. I have confronted and come face to face and fought with these Islamic radicals. And your listeners should know, the tragedy that befell that American journalist, his beheading on video, is terrible. But do not be mistaken or under any illusion. Those radical Islamic terrorists, what they did to that American journalist, they would do to 1,000 Americans if they got their hands on 1,000 different Americans. They believe in such a perverse form of the Islamic faith that where they believe that women should not be allowed to outdoors or girls shouldn't be allowed to read or to write, where everything should be done by their warped view of the Quran, I think is dangerous. It is dangerous and destabilizing for the Middle East, but it is also exceptionally dangerous for us as Americans, because if these radicals get control of real power, if they're able to secure and gain control over petroleum resources, over the mineral resources in the region, make no mistake, they will seek to do grave harm to us as Americans. And that's why it is important for our nation to confront and defeat these individuals. I'm troubled that it took so long for the Obama administration to wake up and realize the dangers of this organization and to have allowed it to get to this point. With that said, though, I am happy that the administration now is finally taking some action. While I do not support insertion of ground troops, I certainly don't want to go back and have to fight these radicals in Syria or Jordan or northern Iraq. I do think for now it is important that we do these airstrikes to rein in and stop these Islamic terrorists.
You think it'll be effective?
Danny, I hope so. I hope so. I think what would have been much more effective, and of course hindsight is always 20/20. It would have been far more effective to have aggressively confronted these individuals a year ago when they started bubbling up in Syria. And over a year ago, the president contemplated but ultimately did not follow through on any airstrikes against these individuals. I think a year ago, we could have nipped it all in the bud instead of having them foment and now hold real territory and real power in the Middle East region. Now, it's water under the bridge. Now we have a very serious situation on our hands here. It's important for the United States to act aggressively on diplomacy, make sure we have a united front with our allies in Europe and in the Western world. Make sure we make it very clear to the suppliers of these radical Islamists, principally Russia and Vladimir Putin, that the United States is not going to tolerate the expansion of this radical Islamic state. And that where we can use air support to strike and push back these radical Islamists, I think by all means we should exercise that aggressively.
What are the chances of sending ground troops?
I hope very low. You know, Danny, I say that not just as an American, but I also say that as a veteran. I don't want to have to go back and leave my family again and go into another combat zone. I've already done that. I've done my tour of duty. I will do it again if America calls me to, if we absolutely need to. But I certainly don't want to. I know that it was an enormous burden upon my family to have deployed overseas for a tour of duty. I know how many thousands of American families were really put through a lot through all those multiple deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan. I hope it never comes to that point. I don't want us to have to insert ground troops. But if the choice becomes protecting and preserving American national security, and the choice is fight these radical Islamists over there or over here, I would much rather fight them over there in the Middle East. But again, Danny, I really want to emphasize here that I think our first options should be, must be, aggressive diplomacy coupled with airstrikes rather than insertion of any ground troops.
Shifting gears, mm-hmm. Charles, the matter of Social Security
mm-hmm.
and the future mm-hmm. of our children, children's mm-hmm. children. What would you do mm-hmm. about that to make a difference?
Yeah, you know, to start with, Danny, I think it's important that anybody who's currently on Social Security, anybody within, say, a decade of getting on Social Security, our government has made a promise to them. It is very important that we preserve and protect Social Security for all those who are dependent on it. It is important to protect it for all those who are coming close to the retirement age. We shouldn't be monkeying around with the system at all. And so I don't support touching Social Security for all those who are depending on it, anybody within a decade of depending on it. But does that mean we can't consider and examine some reforms to Social Security? No, this is a piece of legislation that was passed in the 1930s during the Franklin Roosevelt administration. Just because it worked in the mid-20th century does not necessarily mean it is a program that is going to work in the mid-21st century. Should we look at some reforms for younger workers entering the workforce today? Yes, I think any reasonable balanced reform should be carefully examined. You know, Danny, I saw a couple of polls recently that I think illustrate the difficulty of Social Security for younger workers. Mm. Two separate polls asked individual Americans ages between, I think it was 18 and 25. And it showed more Americans between the age of 18 and 25 believe in UFOs than believe Social Security will be there for them when they retire. And that's because young Americans don't have any faith that the federal government will secure this program and they won't bankrupt the system by the time they turn retirement age. I think it's important that we look at some reforms here. You know, the president had a bipartisan structural, bipartisan deficit commission that looked at these reforms. I supported those bipartisan reforms that President Obama's commission had suggested. I think that should be the basis point for our discussion of reforming this system. Those who take the position that Social Security should never, ever be changed, we shouldn't change one letter, one punctuation mark ever in Social Security forever and ever and ever, I think is unfortunately naive. All government programs over time should always be constantly reexamined to see if we can make them more efficient and work more effectively. Again, those who are retirees already, absolutely no changes. Those looking close to retirement, no changes here. But for those younger workers, those just entering the workforce here, should we consider reforms? Yes. And that's over the long term, the only way we're going to, I think, get our country on a fiscally stable path over the long term.
You got it straight from Charles DeJoux. Charles DeJoux is running from the first congressional district and the general election coming up. And I want to encourage you to make it a point to get out and vote. Charles has been so gracious to elucidate his points, where he's coming from, what he wants to do, what he has found in the identification of certain problems, and what his plans are to make a difference if given the opportunity. You can find out more about him at DeJoux.com, DJOU.com, DeJoux.com. Find out more about his stance on environment and energy, education, the Second Amendment. He has spoken at length here and gone into great detail, but there's so much more. Find out more at DeJoux.com. A parting shot, Charles,
yes,
to our listeners. What would you say to them leading up to the generals?
We are enormously blessed. We are blessed as a people, blessed as American citizens, blessed to live here in Hawaii. Don't take those blessings for granted. Be an active participant in our democracy. And the way you take that active leadership, participatory role is get out there and vote. And equally important, Danny, because I know my guess is that most of your listeners are registered to vote. May I humbly ask all of your listeners, talk to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. My guess here is if you talk to the 10 closest people in your life, you're going to be shocked and surprised to find that half of them are probably not registered and not voting. So take it upon yourself here as an American, stand up and say, I own this democracy. I'm going to be an active participant in this democracy. I'm going to vote. I'm going to make sure that my family, my friends, my neighbors also get out there and vote.
The winds of change are blowing, and you, dear one, can be part of that change. We've been here with Charles. Charles, thank you. Thank you so much.
Danny, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. Mahalo, aloha, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
And to find out more about this show, if you want to pass it on to a friend, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. They can hear it in its entirety as a free download. Let me give you a scripture today, Proverbs 14:34. This one is it's a short one, but to the point. Righteousness exalts a nation. Dear ones, it's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Charles DeJoux. Again, find out more at DeJoux.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro.
We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life Radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.